Welcome to the Dark Star Adventure Cast, where the stars are cold, the void is endless, and dangers lurk in every shadow. Out here, trust is a gamble, and survival is never guaranteed. On tonight's Adventure Cast...
Yeah, we all feel great, but now let's try to find some alien artifacts to sell.
I was going to ask a simple question before I covered myself in jello.
I do think you're going to have to be bucket ass naked getting into this.
This is going to be a gross episode.
So sit back and enjoy. This is the Dark Star Adventure Cast. Previously on the Dark Star Adventure Cast, the crew touched down on the desert world Sibilant to refuel, refresh, and visit with Froggy's old friend from Wafisa, Dr. Vera Corbin, a xeno-archaeologist with a soon-to-be-bankrupt company, Lycar Industries. But after discovering that Dr. Voss could activate the alien exosite and realizing that it could be the answer to her bankruptcy problems, Dr. Vera Corbin employed the crew of the GOAT to explore the exosite with her. We now join the crew of the GOAT as they entered a powered alien exosite for the first time in human history. Following the gentle downward slope of the corridor, you arrive in fairly short order at a dead end. You've only traveled about 20 yards into this exosite. There are smooth walls on all sides of you, save for a small object adhered to the right-hand wall. The object is a translucent, jiggling mass of what appears to be jello in cake form, like someone who just plopped it out of a fruitcake pan and stuck it on the wall. It begins to glow with a soft blue light at your approach.
Felix, what do you make of this alien bunt cake?
Well, it looks like a button, Thorn, but I'm kind of hesitant to push a big glowing alien button. Alara, what do you think? You picking anything up from it?
Felix, I don't understand what this is at all.
Nothing ventured, nothing gained. And we are here to gain.
I thought you were going to follow that up with, and I slam the button.
Vera goes to touch the button, and Froggy grabs her wrist. And he says, wait. Trust them, Vera. They're experts. And he takes a step back with her, and he says, let them lose their hand to the jello mold.
I will take out my portable computer and see if I can pick anything up on scanning it and seeing if there's any kind of signals or anything that I'm picking up.
Great idea. So you scan for just all kinds of general signals that your trifold can pick up. And the only thing you really pick up that you find kind of odd is heightened electrical interference, which you're under a bunch of sand and you're a half a mile away from the domed research station. So you really shouldn't be picking up anything from there.
Not picking up much. We're getting quite a bit of electrical interference, which is odd for where we are. But nothing really helpful.
So are we going to push the button?
One way to find out what a button does.
Real quick, Voss, if you get closer or further away from it, do you get any type of change in your feelings or personality? Any signal?
Before she answers, Vera says, I have to ask, what Voss was saying before, what Felix has been saying, and now what Robert's saying, what do you mean feeling? This is just a drone.
Now,
she's back on the ship.
Vera, do you want to figure out what's in this alien vault?
Yes, of course.
Then don't ask us any questions about Dr. Voss.
She takes a step towards you, looking at Dr. Voss a little more closely. Okay, fine then.
Haley, push this button.
Yeah, push it. Just push it.
Okay, first, before you push it, I think it's funny that multiple times people have been like, well, the only way to find out how a button works is to push it. And then no one pushes it. And it's like, well, someone's going to push this button.
It's like one of those anime things where it's like it's doing the cuts of the two people coming at each other fighting. And it keeps cutting right before they hit each other.
Yeah, 2 minutes of just them running at each other.
So, Haley, you were ordered to press that button.
That's why I worded it that way. I'm not going to push the button. Somebody's got to. So if I name a person and say, push this button, I expect that the button gets pushed.
There's one thing I'm good at. Well, not you. Sometimes I'm not. But this time I will push the button. Because honestly, this is a way more exciting of a time than I ever thought we would be having on Sibilant. So yeah, I pushed that button.
If there's one thing I'm good at, it's doing whatever I want, and I want to push this button.
that is Haley. Haley!
Blowing shit up, punching dudes in the faces, pushing buttons.
Pushing a dude's button until he gets annoyed, and then I punch him in the face. So you go to push the button with, you know, a couple fingers, and instead of pushing inwards like a button would, your fingers begin to just sink into the jello.
Oh, gross.
Ugh.
You're probably wearing gloves.
How does it feel as my hand is getting sucked into the bunk cake of jello?
It feels exactly like sinking your hand into a bundt cake of jello.
Does my hand feel anything other than jello?
Cold, a little cold. It's a little cold in the bundt cake of jello.
Okay.
Jello has been in the fridge.
So you're only up to like your fingertips right now.
All right. Is there any change in the jello itself?
The jello remains inert.
Okay. I keep pushing forward.
With your hand?
With my hand.
Okay. You push the remainder of your hand into the jello, and when you do that, it feels like something locks into place, and each of your fingers, all four fingers and thumb, are like cradled by an individual invisible hammock.
Huh.
What is it?
It feels nice somehow.
Okay,
relaxing.
Great. You're having a manicure. Great. Can you open the door?
I can ask. Is if I move my hand around, does anything happen?
You begin to move your hand around, like moving your fingers and like stress, like straining against these like invisible hammocks.
Mm-hmm.
And as you do that, the wall in front of you begins to respond. And it's like the wall in front of you is a jello mold itself. And as you like move your fingers, you create rents in that jello wall. So you move your index finger, and from the top left down to the middle, you create a rent in the wall, and you can kind of see through it to the darkness beyond. When you move your finger back up, the wall fills back in, and it's extremely fluid. It's not like stone, like clicking into place. It's like it's simply melting away and then rebuilding.
Damn, Haley.
Huh.
All right, well.
Great job, Haley.
Let's get it all the way open so we can get in there.
Yep.
There was definitely nothing sexual about that.
It's jello.
We kind of sigh and all dip our heads and shake them.
Yeah, Voss and Vera both go, Robert!
Sorry, ladies.
These are alien artifacts.
And then Froggy goes, Robert.
He doesn't get it. It's okay.
Actually, Haley is going to tear her hand out of the thing. What happens when she removes her hand?
You just remove your hand, and the tiny holes that you created in the wall all stay.
Oh, perfect. Okay, great. Then I put my hand back in the jello and create an opening large enough for us to get through.
So you scoop downward with your hand and create like a 6-foot tall doorway that's like oval shaped, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
Vera says, I don't know how you are all so calm about this. This is the second piece of alien technology that actually works. We've seen unlit, inert goo, for lack of a better word. We call them viscous molds, attached to walls and ceilings and floors, and we've even seen whole pools of them before, and we've never known what they've done. This is incredible.
Lady, we just shut down a portal to an alternate dimension, so like this is not that big of a deal to us.
I want to hear about that, but I can't hear it right now. I can't hear
you're
it right
overloading
now.
People, Felix.
I know, that's what I do. I'm a hacker. I overload the systems. I will say, I wasn't expecting the alien technology to be based on gelatin. Just gonna throw that out there.
It's a gelatin-based society, yeah.
They were probably made of goo.
Well, yeah, but we don't make our doors out of bones.
Don't we, Felix?
Free bones.
I mean, free
bones.
I don't. I don't. I don't know what Robert does with his doors.
I'm literally struggling to keep it together in the back over here.
Bones and goo. You can't do it.
So just past this door, you can see that there's a large round room. In that room, there's a sort of a large hole in the middle of the room. It probably takes up like 60, 70% of the room. Kind of poking your head in, you don't see any adornments on the walls, no other exits. It's just all bare, kind of concrete, like a gritty concrete, which you now know is whatever this fluid is that covers the walls that can make doors appear and disappear. Everything here is that same substance. I don't want it to sound like a loaded question, but do you move into the room?
I don't know.
I think that's the question that people like DMs ask, and then they're like, idiot, the trap goes off.
Is the floor the same substance as the walls?
So much jello. It's so much jello.
Is it also jello?
Well, the jello stuff controlled the wall and created a door in it.
Uh-huh.
And the substance that you removed from the wall was seamless with the wall itself. You can't really tell a difference between the substance that used to be here in front of this hole and what the wall that you can't manipulate is made out of. It's like a gritty concrete. It's semi-porous. It kind of feels like coral. Like it has that like rough,
yeah.
Sometimes bulbous texture, tiny holes in it sometimes, very extremely like gritty.
Okay.
Yep. I definitely think we should move into the room. Froggy, don't you want to show how much of an adventure you've become? Why don't you take the lead?
Oh, okay. And he looks at Vera and he takes a step and then she puts a hand on his shoulder and she says, Froggy, they're the professional explorers. Let them lose their hand. And then the two kind of like laugh and he's like, I said that. I said that before. And she's like, I know.
Glad I thought of it.
I thought it was really funny. Then I said it. Oh, I missed you. And then they give each other a big hug.
That's sweet.
And then Voss says,
Robert, I'm pretty sure that's why we have you.
To push these two into the room first? Absolutely.
Robert. Actually, wait. I'm sorry. To be fair, you're our pilot. We can't afford to lose you. Haley.
Yep.
I think you should probably go first.
Really?
Absolutely. I think the honor is all yours.
Okay, Haley. It's going to be the one of two of us. Rock, paper, scissors?
Rock, paper, scissors.
Okay, so I'm going to say rock, paper, scissors, and then you guys both yell out what you do.
Okay.
Rock, paper, scissors, shoot.
Rock.
Rock. Grignac. Okay, and again, rock, paper, scissors, shoot. Paper.
Rock.
Oh! Paper just beat rock. Wow, Dozier knows Stephanie really well. He knew she was going to do rock
down
twice.
The rock avalanche. It's the triple rock in a row is my go-to move.
It almost always works.
So wait, the loser has to go in or the winner gets to choose?
Oh, loser goes in.
Yeah.
Okay. No, actually, winner gets to choose. Let's just say we had a bad experience that one time. I ain't letting Haley go first. I'll take the lead.
I got this, Robert. Don't worry. I have to earn my stripes somehow, right?
First, neither of them wanted to go in, and now they're both falling over each other to go in.
And now it's a pretty big contest.
Fine. Take the lead, girl.
I go into the room, and I look around just to see if anything shifts or moves. I slowly like go into the space.
Okay. You edge into the room, and everything seems to stay stable. You're in a round room, uh-huh. And there's a big round hole in the floor. And as you approach the hole, looking around everywhere, you clock all the exits in the room. There are no exits. Uh-huh. There's just the one that you came through. There's no adornments. The walls are all made of that coral-like texture. And as you move towards the hole in the middle of the room, you see that it's not a hole, but a pool. A pool filled with goo. The same goo that you just stuck your fingers into.
It'll be a really gross episode.
This is so gross.
That's going to be your intro line, Felix.
Yeah.
This is going to be a gross episode.
Those are my favorite, dude.
What, you like the lines at the beginning?
Absolutely.
Yeah, I love doing that.
All right, I'm going to move in, too, with Voss. As I go in, I'm going to be checking my data slab just to see if the level of electrical interference is changing at all as we're kind of moving in further into the complex.
It increases as you move in. And something else that your mathematically oriented mind notices is that this room isn't just like round. It's almost certainly a perfect circle, as is the pool that's in the middle of the room.
I'm gonna keep checking the electrical interference. I'm not gonna like raise anything up to the team unless it begins to seem important, but I will kind of keep an eye on it.
If the interference is like a scale of 1 to 100, you were at like 30 before, which is odd. And when you step into this room, it jumps up to 60.
Oh, damn. Okay. I will say something then. So as I move in, whoa. All right. That electrical interference I noticed before, it is getting much higher. There is something that's, I think, outputting a lot of power down here.
Maybe it has to do with how the goo works.
I mean, Yeah, I mean, if that little bit of goo gave off that much interference, then this big pile of goo, I guess it could give off this much interference.
Felix, when I move towards the pool, does it change? And I shuffle a little bit towards the pool.
It does not change in any way.
No, it's just different in the room, Haley. It doesn't seem to change based on what you're doing. If you want to get in, we can see if it changes when you get in.
Yeah, I just wanted to reconfirm. How big is the hole? The pool?
So the room itself is about... Well, so from Haley's point of view, you're like, it's like 20-ish yards. Felix, you're like, this is like 25 and a half yards. Mm-hmm. And this pool takes up about 17 yards in diameter.
What? Oh my god. So it's like the room is all pool.
Yeah, it's like you're in an indoor pool area. The pool takes up most of it, and then there's like this like 10 feet around the whole edge.
All right.
Robert would like to look over at Voss to see if she is in any way moving and if the proximity or increased electrical interference is impacting her in any way.
She hasn't said anything, so you're actually unsure.
Voss, how you doing in there?
Oh, I feel good.
Like, we should be scared good, like Skynet good, or like...
I don't quite know how you are supposed to feel, but I feel good. I feel... It's like when I was in a human body, I felt like I was meant to be in a human body, and ever since I've been in this body, I haven't felt like I've meant to be in this body, and now I feel like I'm meant to be in this body. I feel good, Robert. How are you?
I'm just so happy you're feeling good.
Yeah, we all feel great, but now let's try to find some alien artifacts to sell. Haley, we know that goo manipulates things in the room, so is there any chance that if you start playing in the pool or something?
I start climbing in the pool?
Well, hold on.
I was going to ask a simple question before I covered myself in Jell-O.
Goo, yeah.
Man, you and Robert, cover yourselves in slime and goo and oil, I tell you.
What's wrong with the warriors? Yeah,
it's a warriors thing.
That was a Robert thing.
I'm super jealous.
Warriors!
Warriors! Come out and goo!
Roll in the goo!
Let me finish Felix's version of the description.
Fine.
Felix, when you get closer to the pool, you're always looking for like a port to jack into, you know, you're like, what is up with this area? What's like digital or electronic or something that is like going to connect me to the network?
I'm never going to beat these allegations if you keep talking about me like that.
Keep jack that port.
I was looking for a port to jack into.
Okay, so as you move closer to the goo pool that Haley is frantically scrambling towards all of a sudden, for some reason, you notice that there is an indent on the rightmost side of the goo pool. As you kind of like swing your like body that way and your data pad follows suit, you notice that that is directly east for the magnetic poles on this planet, on Sibylline. This small indent is exactly the same size as the virtual intelligence that is Dr. Voss now currently inhabits.
As I notice this, Haley's probably just about to dive into the pool. I put on my arm. Whoa, Haley, hold on a second.
What?
I think there's something else we can try here. Alara, there's an indentation here. Do you see that? I think your vessel would fit in it.
Let me see it.
I turn Dr. Voss to look, quote unquote, at the indent.
There's goo in the bottom of that indent.
What, are you afraid to get a little dirty?
No, there's a plate on the bottom of this orb.
And you take a look, Felix, and there's actually like a smooth plate that's like an inch in diameter at the bottom of the orb. And looking in the indent, you can see this goo is an inch in diameter as well.
I think that this chassis is meant to fit into that indent.
I agree. What do you say, Doc? You up to give it a try?
If I was not a xenolinguist, I would probably say no. However, I am who I am. If I get erased and I am gone forever, it's been a fun ride, Felix.
Well, I'll be right here, ready to snatch you back if you need me to.
Let's do this, Felix.
All right, everybody, watch out. I don't know what's going to happen. I kneel down, and I gently lower Dr. Voss's chassis into the indentation, releasing her when she touches down.
The lights all over the orb go into a kaleidoscope of colors. Every hue you can imagine starts to rainbow and ripple across her surface. The blue-lit goo that's in the pool begins to ripple, and a few waves course back and forth. It sloshes over the edge a little bit, and then the fluid finds its way back into the pool, and then it goes still. The lights on Dr. Voss's chassis dim and go to a soft blue.
Connected. Felix, this is a two-person task.
Okay, what do you need me to do?
I find myself in a deep and unwavering digital ocean. The horizon is an unfathomably far, far distance away. The ocean is deep, deeper than any ocean on any planet that any human has ever encountered. It's not just an ocean, it's a network of connections. It's the way that these beings connected to their own electronic network, much like our ExoNet.
Fascinating.
As an organic being, you should be able to connect the same way that I'm connected now by simply submerging yourself in the pool, which I can now see is a advanced nanofluid. You'll be able to breathe just fine, Felix.
Alright. So fully submerged then? Like, all the way submerged? Just checking.
It seems to be the case that you're going to want complete bodily contact with this fluid.
Alright. Well, you heard the doc. Everybody, I guess I'm going in.
Vera steps forward and says, Wait, whoa. Felix, are you sure about this?
Yeah, why not?
Do you want me to go? I'll go instead.
Listen, it's not that I don't trust you. It's just that I have, how can I say this? No faith in your skills as a technician. Wow. So I'm going to get in there and work with Dr. Voss to understand this system.
Froggy puts a hand on her shoulder and he says, "They're the explorers. Let his body dissolve in the goo." And then they laugh. And she says, Okay. Felix, you go first, but I'm going second, okay? I've got to try this.
No, you're not going second.
Do you want to go second?
Haley calls second.
This pool is big. Haley, let's go in at the same time after. This is what we came here to find.
Too hot to party.
All right, how about you all just hang back, just wait a second, and let's just see what happens.
Totally agree, Felix. I will say, from the description from the doctor, I do think you're going to have to be bucket-ass naked getting into this.
No, she did not say anything about that, Robert.
She said full bodily contact.
No, she said fully submerged. She did not say it. Listen, if Alara wanted my clothes off, she would have asked. Okay?
I don't think you have to take your clothes off, but I'm also not sure if whatever this species is even wears clothes.
If it's a nanofluid, it can get under my clothes. It's fine.
Try it with your clothes on, and if it doesn't work, you can strip down after.
Perfect.
If you're feeling modest, everyone can leave the room.
Sounds good. I tell you what I do want, though, Haley. I want you to tie that rope around my waist so you can yank me out if I go into some kind of seizure or something.
Oh, great idea, Felix.
Thank you.
I start to tie the rope around Felix so that he, you know, can safely, hopefully, go into the goo pool. And Felix, I know we don't get along the best, but please do not get stuck in there. I will pull you out. I'm just pulling the rope three times.
And Haley, I trust you. I know you got me.
I just want to ask, if Felix pulls on the rope twice, what are you going to do?
Let it go.
You're like, he's fine.
Yeah. Well, that means he wants to be in the goo forever.
Forever.
One tug means I'm fine. Two tugs means, you know what? I'm going to live here.
Double fine.
Yep.
So you guys map out your 1 to 10 rope tugging methodology.
Yep.
Yep. We call it the 10 tug program.
No, you don't.
We can't with this episode. We can't.
It's not my fault.
Okay, so you guys have your 10 tug. Wait, what'd you call it? The 10 tug?
It was 3.
It's 3. It's only 3. You all are making it. Neither me nor Haley, who are the only ones involved with this, are coming up. I'll yank on it 3 times, and I'll assume if I go into some kind of seizure, that will basically equate to it being yanked 3 times.
Okay. Brian, can you make that rewind noise again?
Are you looking for a podcast that is the perfect blend of paranormal and pop culture?
Starting off with spooky stuff where we talk cryptids and ghosts.
And then we have our pop culture section where we sometimes have celebrity guests.
Whoa.
Yeah, do you want more?
Boy, howdy.
There's always genre news and all kinds of celebrity deaths. All kinds of it. If you're a celebrity and you die, we're going to talk about it.
I actually was hoping for UFOs.
Well, bet your ass we got that too at the end.
Earthling Entertainment. New episodes every Thursday.
Make sure to check us out anywhere you get your podcasts.
Hey guys, real quick, If you're enjoying the show and you want to stay 2 weeks ahead of the story, the Patreon is how you do it. $5 a month gets you every episode, every Star Master log, and every SWN rules breakdown with Brian, all before they hit the public feed. The Star Master logs especially. That's where I get into what was actually planned versus what happened in the episodes, the scenes I improvised on the spot, and what the players did that I didn't see coming. It's a behind-the-screen version of everything you are hearing right now, and if that sounds like your sort of thing, head on over to patreon.com/darkstaradventurecast, because the next episode is already out. Felix, you are about to enter the pool. Haley has just tied a rope around you and wished you luck. You have come up with your three-tug methodology of success. What would you like to do?
So I will sit at the edge of the pool and put my feet in.
It's cold.
Ooh, I shiver. And I will move in to the pool, holding onto the side still at first, seeing if I can touch a bottom of any kind.
You can't, but as you move into the pool, you find that you find it like a stasis, like you float in space.
It seems to be very buoyant. All right, I'm going to go under now. And I instinctively hold my breath and duck under.
You felt kind of like a prickling on your skin as you were moving about in the pool. And when you duck under, that prickling feeling and the coldness that goes along with it rushes over your scalp. When you are fully submerged for a few seconds, a warmth suffuses your body from your toes all the way up to the tip of your head. You grow warmer and warmer until you feel quite comfortable. You feel like you're cradled in a womb. And then you find yourself opening your eyes in an infinite ocean. Your head is above the water, and you look out and see the great green sky of an alien world. Even though it is full daylight, there are plenty of stars in the sky. You don't see a sun anywhere. You're unsure exactly where this green glow is coming from, at first at least. Within a few seconds, you realize that the entire ocean is covered with a green algae, and it's lighting up the sky with its luminance. There is a figure below you.
Below me? I look down towards this figure.
It's hard to see through the skin of the ocean.
How far down is the figure from me?
Pretty deep, like 10 yards.
There's nothing else around me in any direction?
You are completely alone.
I hope I'm a good swimmer. I do have heavy robot legs.
Well, you find in this realm you don't have robot legs.
Oh, damn.
You find in this realm you are an excellent swimmer. In fact, the mere thought of moving in a certain direction moves you that way.
Crack a big smile. But then I think, is my body my own? As I think about the way I feel and look more closely.
You look at your legs. They are your legs. You look at your arms. There's that weird mole. There's the hair on your arms you know and love.
Okay.
You're wearing a shirt, even, that you recognize from your youth. In fact, you seem to be the perfect recreation of how you picture yourself in your mind.
Get used to this. Okay. Let's figure this out. All right, well, there's only one thing to do, I guess. Let's go see what that is. And with that, I kind of kick off and dive down to investigate the shape beneath the water.
Once you are under the water, you realize that you can see everything perfectly. Clarity underwater is not an issue. It's as though there is no water at all. You are floating in just air. The figure below you is immediately visible, and you begin to move towards it. It is a blonde woman in her late 30s wearing a lab coat, a practical pair of slacks, and wire-rimmed glasses. As you move down to her, she says, Felix, you made it. Are you okay?
Dr. Voss? Is that you? Lara?
She takes a look at her arms and she says, yeah, I suppose here you're exactly how you remember yourself. I'm glad that the goo didn't dissolve your organic body.
I mean, I don't have any guarantee of that right now, to be honest.
I suppose that's true, but if you're still conscious here, I can only assume you're still alive there.
One can hope. So what do we do now?
I don't know if you can feel the same thing I can feel, but just take a moment. You're larger than your body. The frame that you see in front of you, your arms and your legs, this is not who you are here. It's the space that you think you should occupy. You're the size and the shape you think you should be. But take a moment and close your eyes. Imagine that you are part of this ocean. You're part of the data stream, because that's what this is. This is a digital ocean. Can you feel the currents?
I close my eyes and I stretch out my senses, kind
kind of letting myself float, like almost dissolve into the water as I feel the motion and everything flowing past me and through me and around me.
Roll a program wisdom, a sentence I would never thought I would say.
How wise are you at programming?
We're talking about intuitive programming.
I got a 7.
You feel yourself dissolve into the digital ocean, and you feel the undercurrents begin to pull you this way and that. You recognize glimmers of light in the distance. Lighthouses. No. Beacons? Hubs. Terminals. Nodes. This is a network map. You don't understand it. You can't traverse it. It's too foreign. It's too alien. But you can feel it. You can see it even though you can't understand it. It's like looking at a vast forest from a distance and trying to pick out the individual trees.
I bask in the kind of awe of it for a time. And then I kind of come back to my body, to where I was with Alara. That's amazing. Alara, that's like nothing I've ever felt or seen before. I can barely comprehend the scale of this.
It's the same feeling I get when I connect to the ExoNet. You once told me that you wanted to move past the limitations of the human body, and although I did not choose to do that, it's a blessing in many ways. And if you're able to do it as I have, this is what awaits you on the other side.
It's like a dream. It's the freedom and the peace that I feel here. It's like nothing I've ever experienced or could have hoped to. If only I could dive down and explore those lights, those nodes more closely. But I can't quite make sense of that.
I cannot either. Even though this chassis was built to connect in this way, with this technology, I don't have the knowledge or the programming to do it. But something we can do here, perhaps an experience you'll never be able to have again, is we can transfer data instantly to each other. I will take some of my knowledge and I'll give it to you, and it'll be as if you learned it and experienced it. It'll be startling at first, but it is, in my experience, the height of what a realm like this can give you.
I mean, you have so much to share, so much knowledge you have about the alien species, about single linguistics. And I hope that I equally have something to share with you. But Alara, I have to ask, is that all this place is for us? Is that all we'll have discovered here in this vault?
I hope not. The piece I have talking to you is but 1% of my processing power. Everything else I have is scouring the digital ocean, attempting to make sense of it. It doesn't seem to be a full network, at least one that leaves this immediate area. It's more like a silo, narrow but deep. But I can see the connections, like channels or rivers, dried up, walled off and dammed. They likely led off-world. This alien species, whoever they were, used this as their own exonet, connecting all of their worlds, but it's dried up. So we are here in what is likely a small pond. I'm hoping I can find something here of use to us.
Good. Well, then anything you have to share with me, I'd love to accept.
Felix, I know sharing with you a deep expertise, something like xenolinguistics, it would be like reading an article on it. You would learn what the article has to say, but you wouldn't necessarily learn it. There's no substitution for education. But you already have a basis in mechanical engineering. So what I'd like to share with you are the experiments that we did on Wafisa.
Thank you, Alara.
You feel something on the edge of your brain, Felix. It's almost like a knock on a door, and all you have to do is answer it.
I open my brain to Dr. Voss.
The information isn't a rush. It doesn't flow into you. It doesn't slam into you. There is no force. There's no resistance. You open the door and you simply know. It's as if you opened the door to another room in your own home. And now that door is open, that room is accessible.
I feel so smart now. All right. Thank you, Alara. I mean, I feel like I could share subroutines and programs with you, but especially with your ability to connect to the ExoNet now, I don't feel like I have anything to share with you that you don't already know.
Felix, it's okay. And actually, I found something a bit more exciting than that. There is something here I think we can use.
Excellent.
This place. When I read the text on the door, I thought it may be a medical facility of some sort, and it is. It's a quarantine.
It must have been a terrible disease if they couldn't have solved it.
Yes. I don't see much more about it except that I see a record of many other facilities. The name Sibylline, that's not what they call this planet. I don't have a way to put it into English, but I see the symbol. This other symbol here, this must be Polyphen, and this one, Wafisa. All of the facilities of this sort were here on Sibylline. None on Polyphen, none on Wafisa. Sibylline may have been a quarantine colony. But besides that, I've found something actionable. A switch. A virtual intelligence is needed to activate it, but it can't do it alone. It's sort of like a main circuit breaker. This whole building, whatever you want to call it, is running on emergency power. To turn it back on, it takes a virtual intelligence and an organic being, whatever those beings were. I've primed it for you. I'm sharing the digital coordinates, if you can call them that, with you now. See if you can't reach out and flip the switch.
All right, I'll do what I can.
Felix, go ahead and roll programming with a +1 because of Voss helping you.
And what's my attribute I'm using for that again?
Wisdom again, yes.
Okay. Stretch out with your feelings.
I got an 8 on my roll.
So you reach out with your mind and you feel like a big, heavy, like lever, like a toggle that you can physically move with your mind. You're not sure if that's actually how it presents itself, but due to the limitations of your own body and your own sensory perceptions, that's how your brain is interpreting it.
I strain mentally and push it up.
Back out of the goo, everyone that's not Felix, what you see is lights turn on in the room from some mysterious source. It's like the light simply emanates from the walls. A nice calming 3000K light just glowing dimly with a soft luminance from all of the walls. The door that you came through instantly melts shut. And at the same time, a door on the other side of the room melts open, leading to a hallway that is now also lit dimly. Felix, down in the digital ocean, your consciousness returns back into your digital self after flicking this switch. And you get the feeling, no, you know for a fact that there's something else close by that is not just you and Dr. Voss.
Oh no, now it's freaky. He was watching the whole time.
You feel like there's something below you.
I quickly look down.
You look down just in time to see a form rush by. Large, at least 3 times larger than you. It's a tangle of sleek limbs, and then it dives down into the depths.
Oh my god, what was that?
What? What did you see?
Some kind of creature. It was enormous.
Get out now.
What? What about you?
Take me out!
All right. I'll do it, quick! How do I... Hold on. I slow my breathing, and I, like, visualize detaching from the digital ocean.
Roll programming wisdom.
8.
Nice. You force your consciousness out of the digital ocean. You find yourself submerged in the goo once again, the rope tied around your waist.
I kind of swim up through the goo, make my way to the side, and pull myself up as quick as I can and grab Dr. Voss out of the hole.
Yeah, we all help Felix up out of the pool when we see him start moving. How long was he down there? Like, real time, or did it seem longer or shorter to us?
So, that's a great question. Felix, you felt like you were down there for about 3 hours.
Okay.
Out here, waiting around the pool, it was closer to 3 minutes.
Okay.
So, he definitely held his breath for an incredibly long time.
He didn't pull on the rope 3 times, so...
How many tugs in the 3-tug system did he utilize?
0 tugs utilized.
0? Yeah, that's why I knew he'd be fine.
Voss, as you pull her out of the socket, she says,
"Something's down there! Something was coming for me. You pulled me out just in time, Felix. Something was coming."
There's another consciousness in there. Virtual or not, I don't know, but I look around at everybody. We're not alone in here.
What, you mean there's something in the pool? And I, like, look in the pool to see if I can see some kind of monster.
No, the pool is just... It's just a port to a larger digital network. You wouldn't understand. There's some kind of intelligence in there. We just need to be careful. There might be something else controlling the systems in here.
Vera moves forward and says, "Fascinating." And she goes and puts her hand in the pool and kind of traces her finger around in the goo.
"Get out of there! What did I just say?"
She snatches her hand back. "Well, I'm getting in that pool sooner or later, but I suppose it can wait."
Sounds like it's some kind of alien security system.
It's probably more than that. Captain Thorne, is it?
It is.
Felix, tell me, what was it like? What was the pool like?
Listen, I can't even describe it to you. You wouldn't understand. Let's just go.
I am a middling xenoarchaeologist in my field. I would understand.
I said, let's just go. And it's very obvious to everybody else that Felix is much grouchier than when he went in. I'm not happier to be back in a body.
He's grouchier than usual?
I've been doing better lately. I was opening up about stories to you guys, having a great time.
Froggy looks at Vera and just shakes his head no. And so she just kind of like shrugs and falls silent.
And I just kind of heavily like limp and make my way towards the open door.
Okay. Felix is now leading the way.
You all heard the man.
Do I have any goo on me, or does it like smoothly come off when I get out of the pool?
It smoothly comes off. It's just like Haley experienced. As you come out of the pool, the nanofluid just runs off of you, hits the ground, and then like a magnet, just poof, flows right back into the pool.
Okay, cool. So it's not like Nickelodeon gack all over me.
No, you're completely dry.
Cool.
So this hallway that you move up to, Felix, you walk up and you put your hand on the wall, feeling the weight of your organic body on your mangled robotic legs. It's almost like you have to catch your breath every step now. Down this hallway, you see glass vats of some sort. You can't quite make them out in the dim light from where you are here.
I kind of lean on the wall, catch my breath, as you said. Everybody's kind of catching up to me, looking ahead. Well, what do y'all want to do? Keep going? Go back?
Well, of course we're going to keep going. What are you talking about?
We have
about?
To keep moving forward.
Yep.
Froggy says, guys, I don't think we can go back. The door closed.
It like melted.
He's at the wall, like running his hands over where the door used to be. And he's like, unless you can get back in that goo and open this door, I don't think we can go back, guys. He sounds scared. He's just, I don't think we can go back. I think we're in here now.
Relax, Froggy. We always knew this was part of the plan. This is what you brought the adventurers for. Vera, would you help Reggie with his episode?
Vera goes over and kind of pats his back. She's like, it's okay, Froggy. That's what they call you, right? Froggy? It's okay.
Voice of the Wastes.
Yeah, you did the radio thing. That was great. Listen, I've been in this situation a couple times. Sometimes you go into an area and you don't know how you're going to get out. It's just a part of spelunking. Okay, Froggy? This is all normal. And as she's comforting him, the four of you plus Voss turn towards this now exposed and lighted hallway. In here, you find row after row of large glass vats. Each vat is filled with that strange goo, and each contains a few fragments of some hard bone-like substance at the bottom of the vat. Each vat also has a single light built into it, but besides these little fragments of bone, there's nothing in the vat to really put a light on. At the end of this hallway, which stretches for quite a ways, Robert Ross, using your military training, you're like, that's got to be at least 100 yards away. There's just 3-4 rows deep on either side of you, going for 100 yards long on this hallway. And then you see that the hallway simply ends. To the keen eye of Haley, she sees what might be an indentation or a hole in the floor at the end of this hallway.
I said, everybody, all right, listen, I have a feeling I know what was in these pods. Alara figured out this place used to be some kind of medical quarantine center. So it's likely that these were the creatures, the aliens, the beings were in these pods until they died. So be very careful, because if any of these become breached, there's no telling what kind of pathogens might be released. So don't touch anything.
That'll be pretty easy. Don't touch the stuff that my hand has already been in.
No. The things with the bones in them, Haley.
Okay.
The things with the bones in them.
Oh, I get it. Yep.
I very pointedly was looking at Vera the whole time I'm saying this, because I know she's going to want to get at those bones.
So, Felix, you're saying each one of these vats is like some kind of terminal to some kind of VR chamber or something like that? Am I following you?
It's not even like a VR chamber. It's like a different universe, Thor.
Yeah, like a virtual reality.
No, I need to collect my thoughts on it more before I can talk about it, okay, man? All right, we'll talk about it later.
All right. If it's enough to get you this weirded out, it must be weird.
I need some moon rocks.
Thor needs to know so badly he just cannonballs into the goo.
I'm just saying, can we market this technology? Like, what do the patents look like?
I have to say, that is very astute between the two of you being like, oh, this is where the diseased beings were held. And then Thorn being like, oh, these are like VR terminals to like the digital ocean.
They can like not be in pain.
Yeah, very astute.
Yep.
Yeah, we're sci-fi characters. We know what's going on.
Well, I'm moving down this hallway.
Yeah, what do you see down there, Haley?
As the intrepid explorer I am, there's another indentation in the floor up ahead, down towards the end of the hallway past these vats, but...
Probably the only way forward.
Yep.
And definitely, as Felix said, keep your masks on, because we don't know what these people were sick with.
I move forward to the end of the hallway.
Okay. Haley, are you like a reconnaissance mission on your own, or is everyone moving with you?
I felt like I was moving with her.
Assumed, yeah.
Yeah, I'm behind her.
Figure you're just in front. Yeah.
Yeah. Like she's point and we're all going together.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. If she's point, I'm behind everybody, including and especially Froggy.
So Froggy and Vera are like fourth and fifth. Robert's sixth. Haley's first. And then Thorn and Felix are second and third. So we got Haley, Thorn, Felix, Froggy, Vera.
Oh, great. You're Robert. Doing the order that we're standing in. Awesome.
Fantastic. Yeah, marching order always means something good is about to happen.
Well, it's just a narrow hallway, and I just want to know what's happening.
It's so that he can know who is the 100th visitor so they can get a prize.
And it was Froggy.
Oh, lucky him.
Hey, marching order is important. But unfortunately, we're going to have to wait till next time to figure out why I was writing that down, because we're out of time for tonight. Well, that's all the time we have for today. Thanks to our crew. We have Scott as Felix, Stephanie as Haley, Brian as Thorn, and of course, Doja as Robert. And most of all, thanks to me, Jeff, the Game Master, who runs all the NPCs and makes them have conversations that amount to me just talking to myself. So stay tuned for more thrilling adventures from the Darkstar Adventure Cast. Because honestly, we cannot wait to share them with you. Bye for now. If you want to hear every episode before the public feed, the Patreon is how you do it. $5 a month gets you everything 2 weeks early. The main episodes, the Star Master logs, and even the SWN rules breakdown that Brian records to go with each and every episode. Head on over to patreon.com/DarkstarAdventureCast, because the next episode is already out.